This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Monday morning on CliffCentral.com. Hey, don't forget this week on Wednesday, you get the day off. Wednesday's a public holiday. Yeah, you see, I told you I'd go. Always good news if you ask.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
Yeah, there it is.
Go.
Very good.
That's right. So don't expect too many other people to be doing anything important on Wednesday. That means, tomorrow's like a mini Friday. Suddenly remember why these public holidays are there, and you suddenly remember when they're there. And
what is this public holiday?
This one's Human Rights Day. You know, it's where we kind of we remind ourselves that our Constitution puts human rights up front and center, and make sure that you are aware of your rights. What the Constitution guarantees you as a free human being in South Africa in the year 2018. Mm-hmm. So, when the government aren't trying to take that stuff away from you,
oh right,
which you know they do, right? At any given opportunity, they're going to jump up and try and grab them. Whether it's your right to free expression, whether it's your right to property, whatever it is. So that's what we celebrate on Wednesday. But for most people, it's just a day off. And it is the most irritating kind of public holiday because it's not even close to a weekend.
Yeah, which means as much as tomorrow will be a Friday, we'll also get another Monday on Thursday.
Yes, correct. That's right.
Oh, man.
That's how it goes. That's how it works.
That is the height of pessimism right there. You are trying to make a Thursday into a Monday.
That's what he's done.
Well, we'll just have to giddy up and go with it again on Thursday.
Yeah. How was everybody's weekend? Huh? How was yours, Ben?
Well, Gareth, it started off great. I went to the launch of the new Jaguar E-Pace.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the Jaguar Midland people. I hung out with them in the morning.
Yes.
It was such a great car. It's kind of like a Range Rover Evoque, but just kind of prettier, a lot more sort of added tech inside. It's nice and nippy. There was like a whole convoy of us that drove around the south of Joburg, and they would stop and try different cars.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just great.
Oh.
You can see it all in this week's vlog, which heavily features Sia Sangweni doing things before the David Beckham interview.
Oh, right.
Oh, I was trying to figure out, like, what is this? Yeah. What did I do?
Okay. Well, like, the whole point of me making this vlog is to show more behind-the-scenes stuff of here, because, you know, it's great that we have a show and it's all audio. So there's some great behind-the-scenes stuff of Sia and Jane and Celeste, Alan and Gareth.
Oh. Just with our friend, it's David. Well,
that's good. So you can find that on Follow the Bounce.
Yeah, Gareth. And then, not a lot, huh? Daniela came back yesterday, so...
Oh, okay. So you do have a girlfriend again.
Yeah, it feels like life's back to kind of more normal.
Now, some of the time she's not around.
Yeah, a whole week. And she goes to Cape Town, which is dreadful. So she comes back and she's like, you can just see Cape Town just suck the life out of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Mubs.
Hey.
How was your weekend?
We got a new arrival in the family. Her name is Sihle. She's 3 days old this morning.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I know.
That's so sweet.
I know.
Were you
didn't even
pregnant?
Know that I was pregnant. No. That's how good I am. Okay. That's how good I am.
Wow. And so committed to work, didn't even take maternity leave.
Hey, listen, Sia. Some of us are superheroes without capes.
Man, right. You are.
Look at that.
No, it's one of my cousins who gave birth. But it was the funniest thing because her... OBGYN person, or whatever you call those experts, had told her and the husband that, hey, it's a boy. And then when they gave birth, it was like, oh, sorry.
That doesn't look like a boy.
Do we still make those mistakes in 2018?
Apparently we do, Sia. Apparently we do.
Oh, that's exciting. I mean, that adds another layer of surprise to things.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting if you already made up the baby room and bought stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing is a few weeks back, we did the whole baby shower thing and it was very boy-oriented. But you know, these days it's fine. Like your baby girl can wear blue.
Yeah, I mean, you also got to wait until the baby identifies with something, Mavs. We can't be casting this upon them so soon.
You know, we've got to let them decide what they want to grow up to be as well. So it's perfectly fine that she's going to be wearing daddy's big boy jumpers. That's fine.
And these days, you're encouraged to be gender non-specific, so that you can allow the child the room to, you know, turn into what it wants to be.
Sure, gender fluid.
That's right.
Yeah.
So were you there for the entire operation of the...
No.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe I just thought you were that close with your cousin that you wanted to be there and hold the hand.
No, they have visiting hours, Sia. Oh. But you're not actually there when the baby is being brought into the world. Oh.
No, that's really just the mom and the dad.
Yeah.
Because my sister had that rule. She was like, y'all were not there when I made this baby, so y'all will not be there when I'm pushing this baby out.
And then there's like some uncle who goes, no, I was.
Yeah.
I was creepily hanging around the window. Yeah. I had a big old pair of binoculars.
Ew.
Creepy uncle. The crunkle.
The crunkle.
So, are you guys related to Bill Cosby? Like, what families do you come from?
You get crunkles. Jesus. Just the biggest storm last night where
loved
I live.
It.
And you love it?
Oh, yes.
Well, I had a bit of a flood at home.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we don't love that.
No.
How bad is the damage?
Well, it's just the carpets and the passage, but I don't know what to do. It's got to be dried up, I suppose.
Wait a minute. So
what happened last night? I was just not going to go around on my hands and knees with towels and wring them out, so I'll deal with it today.
Oh, that sounds so frustrating.
Yeah.
Just come running in through the front door.
No, I wasn't even at home when the storm was on. I was with the family, and then I went back home, and I saw when I walked into the house, switching on lights and everything, and then I walked into the dining room, and I saw like, light is dripping. The light fitting in there. Why would that happen?
Do you have like 8 meters of water? How do you get a light dripping?
This is the point, right? So that there's water dripping through the light fitting, and I thought, oh God, what is this? And then I suddenly clicked, oh shit, that means there's water upstairs. So I walk upstairs, and then the carpet in the passage is just...
Okay, so you had a roof leak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not very cool. That was my Sunday. I just tried to ignore it. And, you know, I hate going to sleep with something like that going on in the house. But what can you do? I was not at 8 o'clock last night. I was not going to get towel after towel and bucket after bucket and wring them out. And it just would have driven me crazy.
But it's not in entire rooms that are carpeted, right?
No, no, no.
Because what are you supposed to do in a situation like that? And then carpets get that stench.
Yeah, then you have to...
Leave the country. You leave the country, you get a new name.
You have to get them out.
Yeah.
You have to take those carpets out. So that's that was my Sunday. The rest of the weekend was pretty good. I had a very nice weekend.
Sorry, just speaking of leaving the country, before I forget this fact, a friend of mine went to Dubai last week for business.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not lying, he got out at the airport, and there was a guy with a big sign dressed in a fancy suit, and he had a sign saying Rajesh Gupta.
No way.
You know, he's the one that's got the 6 passports.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
So there was a guy just
one of the brothers.
Guy just waiting to pick him up. I mean, look, obviously there's more than one Rajesh Gupta in the world, but
that's fantastic.
Pretty funny.
He's probably the same guy, right?
Pretty funny. Like, it's the first thing you see in Dubai is a sign saying that.
Gupta.
Is Magda offering any money for him?
I think Magda will offer money for anybody. Magda's
bored. She's trying to stand in for the justice system. She's trying to stand in for everybody.
See, I could turn you into Magda with the right backstory.
By the way, if you don't know, you know who we're talking about, it's Magda from Signia. She's Magda Vierska.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to pronounce the surname.
Vierska, actually. And she's always mouthing off in the Daily Maverick about the Guptas, and she wants this one and that one. By the way, I mean, the big news obviously of Friday was that the president is gonna have to face these charges.
Yeah.
783 charges of corruption and fraud and racketeering.
These racketeering ones, that's what makes you sound so dodgy.
Did anyone actually watch Sean at the press conference? Because it was very quick. Mm-mm. I was still here at the office around that time in the afternoon, and we were trying to even just figure out the remote to get it unmuted. And by the time we figured it out, he was already getting up and leaving. So we were like, oh, okay, that was quick. Just went straight to announcing it and walked
good.
Off. Didn't even take any questions.
I don't understand. I mean, to me, this is something that should have happened long ago. But I suppose better late than never. And I also wonder how many other people who have their hands in the till because of the whole Zoomer thing, that they're going to become implicated as well. What I would love in my fantasies, I'd love him to just out everybody. Like this one, that one's a crook, and that one benefited, and that one was the one we paid, and just basically bring down every rotten person in this government. Now, that would be a major heroic move from President Jacob Zuma. Major move. Like that is the way to go down in history and clear the way. He has the opportunity here, not that we ever expect him to take the high ground.
No.
But he has the opportunity here to actually do some good instead of just go to jail. And a lot of people reckon he'll still gap it, huh? He'll run away.
Well, I mean, Michael Hulley and co. are already hard at work. They're expected to come back with their next chess move.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, but then again, the law allows for that to be done. So he's going to use everything available to him to try and not go to jail.
It should be like in the cricket. You get two reviews, you mess it up, shut up. You will take what the umpire tells you. You can't just keep saying, no, have another look at that.
Yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to appeal and appeal and appeal and appeal. Anyway, I mean, what do I know about that stuff? I'm not a lawyer. But a good weekend, I hope, for you as well. If you were if you're out and about, if you got some things done, if you were busy this weekend, or if you just chilled and did absolutely zero, let us know. You can get hold of us. I don't know what's going on with the WhatsApps. I seem to be struggling with those. But you can call us 0861-555-189. A lot of people talking about the David Beckham interview. You know, it was difficult because we had only 10 minutes with him. And there's only so much you can do to kind of ask the interesting questions in those 10 minutes, because usually you would use the first 5 to 10 minutes of any interview to just settle in and kind of get to know somebody. And then later on you get into the more interesting questions. So it always is with these things, difficult to get to the meaty stuff, because you also have their people, their agents, their managers, their promoters, whoever it might be that are here, that are trying to control the flow of conversation. They basically want it to be just about whatever he's here to promote.
Mm.
And in this case, it was a brand new whiskey. I actually had some of it at the interview and at the press conference. Called Haig Clubman, and they're marketing it as a new unconventional stylish whiskey designed for unconventional people. The brainchild of the revered and respected Haig brand and David Beckham, it fuses the worlds of quality and credibility with a modern stylish flair. It's also one of those whiskeys that is openly marketing itself at women, Mubs, because why shouldn't women be able to choose a decent whiskey? Why is it always stuffy old men who drink whiskey?
And I like the fact they also talk about the mixability. It's not just saying you must have it on the rocks. You
correct.
Must do this.
So you can break the rules. You don't have to do any of that. Oh, just a little bit of water and some ice.
I do like my whiskey with soda water, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a badass. I can't drink that stuff on the rocks.
But you
don't have to.
You can mix this with anything, and they did. They mixed mine up with lime and
that lime.
Coke, and it was nice. Anyway, David Beckham is one of the people who breaks the rules, and I asked him why he decided to add whiskey to his portfolio of things he's doing, because remember, he's just become a manager of, or rather an owner of, his own football club as well. And if you want to know what the answers to all of those questions were and a whole lot more about David Beckham, just download the podcast at cliffcentral.com. Haig Clubman, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. Yes. Yes. All right, so that was fun. That was obviously on Friday we released that interview, and you can go and check it out on our website. Find out more. He was very friendly. He was very nice. He was
very nice. You know, firm handshake. Mm. Looked everyone in the eye. Smelt really good. I'm just saying, when we took the picture,
you were breathing him in?
Snuggled right up in there. Felt the heat of his armpit.
Were you sitting? You were standing right next to him.
Oh, yes.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
Who did you elbow out of the way for that?
I body slammed Celeste. yeah. who works with us on our accounts. Like, yeah, let's all take a picture. I was like, you better move out of my way. I sort of pressured everyone to link up in arms just so that I can cop a feel a bit. Oh, damn it. No, now I sound like a freak. Never mind. I'm
such
sorry.
A creep.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you just go to Hollywood, Mr.
I know.
Creepy.
Taylor Swift sued someone for that, but okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Beckham.
All right.
We're brothers in arms. Literally.
Tell us what you got up to this weekend. By the way, this morning's going to be busy. We've got Anthea popping in with the money shot just after 6:30. We've got Rich Mulholland coming to the studio to visit us. Usually he's on the phone. Who else do we have today? We've got
Mark Bland,
who's one of our international contributors on cliffcentral.com. The Q is his show, and you can hear it on the podcasts every week. And today we're going to check in with him and see what he's up to, because I haven't spoken to him in ages. He's railing against Trump 90% of the time. So anybody who says, like, oh, but you've got the Renegade Report who are like, they're always saying how Trump is so cool or he's so great. And by the way, I don't think Jonathan Witt likes anybody. I don't even think he likes Trump. So I wouldn't say that. And then you've got Mark Bland, who for an hour every week just basically says Trump's a douche, Trump's a douche, Trump's a douche, Trump. So we try to mix it up. Anyway, we'll find out from him. So speaking of Trump being a douche, there's some guy, some 20-year-old kid who arrived at that. You know, they had a big protest march in the U.S. I think Debbie was talking about it the other day. So this guy was talking about how, and he's, you know, he's one of those amazing 20-year-olds that you never see, the ones who know everything.
Okay.
And I was a 20-year-old who thought I knew everything, and everybody is when they're 20. And here he is, he's talking about how the adults have failed him and that basically he is left to pick up the pieces of a world that really doesn't know what it's doing, because all the adults are a bunch of losers and assholes, and he feels like he and his generation are going to be the ones to save things. Just take a listen. Maybe you agree. Who knows? All right, here he is, talking a big game.
We refuse to learn in fear. We reject turning our schools into prisons.
No one's going to disagree with that.
Nothing less than comprehensive gun control. And if it's what it takes, we will shame our national policymakers into protecting us. Not just in schools, but in churches, movie theaters, on the streets, and in the communities of color, which are disproportionately devastated by the sickness of gun violence. The lawmakers who fail to support us, those who look for every answer to our nation's gun problem, but the guns themselves, will be complicit in every death that comes after. To every politician sitting in Congress, working behind us, you get to decide who lives. And so, this is not a partisan issue for us. There's nothing cosmetic about life or death. This is about guns, and it's about our morality as a country. When the Commander-in-Chief's solution to this country's gun problem is more guns, you know we have a moral problem in this White House. When national policymakers value the blood money of the NRA over the lives of children, you know we have a moral problem in the halls of Congress. And when this is doomed to happen again, when in the coming weeks and months, more of my peers will be slaughtered in their own classrooms, when their deaths will be dismissed as collateral, you know we have a moral problem in this country. So let's make one last thing clear. Their right to own an assault rifle does not outweigh our right to live. Yes. The adults have failed us. This is in our hands now, and if any elected official gets in our way, we will vote them out and replace them ourselves. Enough is enough. Enough is enough.
All right, calm down, dude. Anyway, I don't know that I disagree with him, actually. Mm. I mean, these assault rifles, I don't understand why Americans are so obsessed with having a gun that you... Who are you trying to kill? What kind of a hunting expedition are you on where you spray bullets?
Bambi?
Yeah, I mean, really.
They're obsessed with it because their country has allowed them to be
you don't take
that,
our guns.
That freely accessible. You know?
They're coming, take our guns.
What do the facts say about gun violence over the last, say, 20 to 50 years? Because if the facts say that it has gotten, that it has escalated, then they need to admit that they do have a problem on their hands.
I love the way you ask that. What do the facts say? That is something nobody ever does anymore. Can we just take a moment to revel in what Mabale just said? Because in any situation, isn't that the best way to go about it? It's like, look at the facts, and they probably do show that gun violence is on the up and up. And of course, in America, we do have this problem. But we also have a huge mental illness problem in America that no one really wants to address. A lot of people, I mean, they've been talking about the opioid epidemic.
Oh.
You know, these people are all on antidepressants. They have horrible lives.
The medication game there is crazy. Like, pharmaceutical reps are like celebrities in their small towns.
Yeah.
But there was
everyone knows them.
There was an expose that I was reading about a few weeks back, I think done by Harvard. I'm not sure, but one of those. Mm-hmm. And the role that medical doctors play in basically peddling these opioids.
Yep.
I mean, they're essentially licensed drug dealers.
Key word there, peddling.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because, you know, the companies pay them back handsomely for pushing their drugs out.
And there's the gun. First of all, an assault rifle that you can set to fully automatic should not be able to be purchased by ordinary people in any place. There's just no need. You don't, unless you're going to war, what do you need that for, right? You're probably a dangerous person if you're buying one of those, just on the face of having to buy one of those. Mm. And I'm not an anti-gun guy, you know that. I just think that there's certainly a certain category of weapons that are just unnecessary for people to have. Then there's the question of the opioid epidemic, which is another problem. And then the third part of the problem is, like, you've got a bunch of people who just have horrible lives. They have no meaning in their life, they have no purpose in their life, and they do want to end it all. And they want to do it spectacularly. And the way to do that is to take out a whole bunch of innocent people with you.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you get to the heart of this, it's like, people have got to find something meaningful to do with their lives. If you have nothing going for you and you feel like a failure and society's made you feel awful about yourself or whatever else, as Mubs has always said, you're not allowed to take that out on everyone else and make it their problem. But a lot of these people do. Mm. They get out there and they just, it's me, 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 me. I feel less. I feel bad. I feel poor. I feel unhappy. I feel outside. And usually it is. I mean, it's mostly, it's almost always young men, right? It's almost always these kind of disaffected, strange young men who are usually of a certain, I mean, they're mostly white kids. They mostly have anger issues. They might come from households where the parents say, "Oh, we never noticed anything." But then those are probably the least attentive parents you could possibly imagine. I mean, they're like, you know, Dylan's in the basement again. He goes down there for 7-8 hours a day. We don't see him, but he's a good kid.
And then next thing, Dylan shoots people in the church. Yeah.
And they don't have any purpose in life. Society keeps saying to them, you know, you're an oppressor and male aggression is your problem. And they start to believe it. They're like, "Well, I'll show you some aggression." And they grab themselves some weapon at Walmart and walk into the school and cause shit.
Well, that also helps, where you can just go get, like, I don't know, some bread, milk, and a firearm.
Jeez.
You can.
Yeah.
You can actually do that. You can walk into, like, a supermarket and pick a gun off the wall. It's just crazy. So I don't know if I totally disagree with this kid. I just didn't. I thought, you know, here's someone who's basically saying the adults have failed them. And I don't know that he's proposing to shame public servants. Well, in South Africa, you can't shame public servants. They're already so shameful that there's no amount of shame that we can pile onto them to make them change. I did see Becky Cele, he was talking about that whole situation in where that police station was.
In Ngobo.
And with that Seven Angels ministry. Now, did you hear the story about that?
That they were running a sex cult with underage, well, with children?
Yeah. Because we discussed it on the show, but did you hear that the guys who ran the Seven Angels and were telling everybody not to send their kids to school?
Yeah.
They were sending their kids to expensive schools.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, you know.
Just, we have got to get away from this idea that our leaders are allowed to tell us what to do, but do their own thing completely differently. You know, like, do as I say, not as I do. Because all of our government, our most important cabinet ministers and the powerful people in politics in this country, they all send their kids to private schools.
Mm.
They all send their kids to private hospitals when something goes wrong. They don't even believe in the system they're there to manage. I reckon you should not be allowed, if you work for the government, to send your children to private education, because you should be fixing the public education system so that your kids, and they're not better than anyone else's kids, can get a decent education, and so can all the other children that you're responsible for. If you're a cabinet minister, if you're a cabinet minister and your kids are going to private education facility, that should be, talk about shame, that should be embarrassing. Because what you're basically saying to everyone else is, ah, yeah, we'll kind of look after the school system, but just enough for you and your kids to get just basically prepare them for nothing.
Well, in their opinion, so it's good enough for poor people, not good enough for us.
But we're always better than cabinet, you. So I'm going to send my kids to this school.
But I don't imagine there's a single leader in the world that would agree to that. Even in a country where they have a better public school system than, say, a country like ours, they're still going to send their kids to the elite schools.
What they'll probably say is that it's a security risk to send them to the government.
They'll make some story.
I don't imagine there's a single leader in the world that would happily do that. They all think that their kids deserve the best, and the best comes with the priciest price tag.
Yeah. Well, it's wrong. And again, it goes for healthcare. It goes for everything. And they shouldn't. And I reckon also if you're in government, your children should not be allowed to go into government at all. I mean, there's got to be rules to occupying that sort of position. And I thought about this, and I thought that situation in Engobo is exactly the problem with us, is that we are led down the garden path by a complete charlatan. And, you know, there are a lot of these churches that are full of the most deceitful, wicked people, really, who take advantage of credulous
manipulative
people. But like we shouldn't be so credulous. We should have people who are less easily led by the nose. Because if someone's saying to you, don't send your kids to school, give us all your money, and Jesus is coming, three complete lies. First of all, how can you stultify your kids and as a parent go along with that? Even if you're so depraved that you believe everything someone tells you. Second of all, how can you give them all your money? Mm. How are you going to live? And the third one about Jesus coming, well, they have no evidence of that. Have no proof. And if they were talking directly to Jesus, he has some way of rewarding them by shutting them down and ordering them to massacre a bunch of policemen and women. It's crazy, right? I mean, now you can look at that and say, obviously it doesn't make sense. I'm always fascinated by how people get roped into this crap.
Yeah.
How does it happen?
It's because there's very little else going on in these areas. You know, we can change the channel, or we can do something else. A lot of people here have no real options. That's why religion works well in rural areas. There's no entertainment. There's very little.
Maybe you're making a good point here.
There's no cinemas, there's no shopping malls, there's no sports on the go, there's just Jesus.
Showing the today, only game in
Jesus,
town.
Yeah.
that whole cult mentality is very psychological.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And dangerous.
Yeah.
Also geographic, guys. We don't see cults in big cities. We see them in Hickville, nowhere towns.
That's true.
Where there's not even a horse anymore. Why? There's nothing else.
That's a good point. God, that's terrifying, but you're absolutely right. Okay, let's get into some news because we've got a lot to talk about today and a lot of things to go to and people to see and places to discuss. So you know what to do if you want to get hold of us. 0861-555-189. A couple of messages coming in. I see, by the way, that people are raving about the Casper radio show on Friday.
That would have been a good place for David Beckham to go after you.
Imagine.
That would have been funny.
Gareth, you have to Google and see what this bump stock is. Americans talk about it all the time. Actually, it's frightening. Turns a semi-automatic weapon into a fully automatic weapon. That's from Ashley. Yeah, you could You can buy military-grade assault weapons.
Oh, you can.
No. And in the supermarket. I've seen it with my own eyes. Madness. Let's get into it, though. Here are the five things you need to know this morning with Mabali Moloi. Let's pay attention, and then we'll know what to do this week.
Okay. Well, it is another day in South Africa, which means it must be time for another race war.
Oh, is there a race war this week? What's happening?
Well, there's a race scuffle that happened on Twitter. A Twitter war erupted between Helen Ziller and Julius Malema. I really would like for these two to get stuck in that typical movie scenario where they both get into an elevator and then it just gets stuck for a few hours. Because, you know, then they can work their issues out. Everybody always works their issues out when they're stuck in an elevator.
So what happened?
Well, Ziller was slamming Malema's stance on racism. It all started when a tweet applauded the DA for ensuring that the former president is being charged for corruption. The comment then escalated to a brawl where the Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan Mayor Ethel Trollope got involved. He accused the EFF of flip-flopping on matters of national importance. Then the conversation quickly turned into one about race, with Malema saying that he has no sympathy for whites. And then enter Helen Ziller, who joined in on the fight, saying that the EFF's attempt to remove Trollope is racially motivated.
Of course it is, because that's all the EFF have. They don't have any ideas.
And then everybody assumed their position across opposite sides of the fence, and they were all screaming at each other, and then that was another day.
Well, I want you to tell me if you think this is an appropriate thing to say. I mean, again, let's just change the let's change black to white and see if this is acceptable. And by the way, Julius must be careful, because we know what he did before. We know where his track record comes from. Let me read this quote to you quickly, and you tell me what you think of this. This is in January 2009. This is what Julius Malema, who's now like, oh, I brought down Zuma, right? Here's what he said. We are not retreating from our call that the NPA must drop charges because there are no winnable charges against the president of the ANC. They, the NPA, must save this country. They must act in the interest of the country. They must drop the charges, and then we proceed. Those are his words. We have recorded video footage of him saying that. And now he's done a 180 degrees on this. Now he's like, no, it's about right that Sean Abrams implements these charges and that we prosecute Jacob Zuma. Well, this is from left to right. This is from black to white. This is from yes to no. Mm. You know, Julius, we know what you're doing here. You basically have felt the zeitgeist change. And look, I mean, people are allowed to change their minds, right?
Well, yes. But
that sounds to me a hell of a lot like someone who's flip-flopping. I mean, if that isn't the definition of flip-flopping. And then I do think that there's a lot of stuff that Julius Malema says that I do not think he is putting the right filters on things. He's and this happens for a lot of politicians. But when you basically say things like, ha-ha, you are going, white man. I've got no sympathy for whiteness. It feels so good for a black child to determine the future of the white one. Now, let me turn that around. I'm going to replace the word white with black, and let's see what happens.
Gareth, you know you can't do this.
No, you can, Ben. Ha-ha, you're going, white man. So I'll change this to black. So, ha-ha, you're going, black man. I have no sympathy for blackness. It feels so good for a white child to determine the future of the black one. Now, that's the kind of thing that the whole country knows instinctively is just, that's just not right. If you said that about a black child, it would be the most awful thing.
But guys, at what stage in the media can we just get to the point where we say Julius Malema, crackpot racist, and then not actually have to elaborate on everything this guy says?
Because, well, you already believe that, so why do you need it to be said in the media?
Because the media keeps giving this guy full, like, rein with his stories and his whatever.
Because he grabs headlines. He benefits them.
Yeah. So again, we just clarify, he's a product of clickbait culture then. He's nothing more to this guy.
But I think what Ben is saying is, why do we still pay him that much attention and pay him mind?
Because, again, I'll quote Ben, because we haven't got enough to do.
No, we live in the cities, Gareth. We got plenty to do here.
You would think we'd be wrapped up in our lives just trying to make it through the day without wasting water in Cape Town and trying not to get killed by Poloni, that we really would say, oh, there they go again. Anyway,
there are certain people who get paid attention because whenever they open their mouths, they for the media, it helps them out because
it gets the numbers.
I mean, your Helen Zillers, your Julius Malemas, your Steve Hoffmeyers, all these people, like that's their role.
That's what they do.
That's what they're there for.
All right, well, we've got to get to the other things that we need to know, so let's not get stuck on this one.
All right, so I did mention that Michael Hulley and team are not wasting any time. The former president's lawyers, well, they're not. They're expected to apply for the case to be struck off the roll. Hmm. They're going to argue that there was a prosecutorial manipulation and misconduct. That's what they're going to argue.
Prosecutorial?
Yeah. What a word to kick
that
the
That sounds
week.
Like something that only flowers in spring.
Zuma is facing 16 charges of corruption, money laundering, and racketeering in connection with the arms deal. But his legal team will argue that he had no intention to commit crime. You see, guys, there was no intention. And if there isn't intention, as we all know, in legalese. Yeah. They're gonna argue that there was no intention to commit crime when he and his former financial advisor, Shabir Sheikh, met with French arms manufacturer, and that he was just following ANC policy.
Shockingly inappropriate for what's happened in this matter. Shockingly inappropriate.
I guess in the past he had no intention of rape either. He just wanted to have sex.
Yeah, sure, Ben. You know, anybody can deduce things anywhere that they want to in their minds. So this was all revealed in the Sunday Times yesterday, where the paper also reported that Shabir Sheikh, who will testify in the trial, will maintain that the payments he made to Zuma were not corrupt. It's all about who you know in this world, guys.
Yeah, but I mean, Shabir had to go to jail, even though it was only for 5 days. He did go to jail.
Well, his health failed him, remember?
Yes. He's still alive. All right?
Yes, but guys, he went and played golf. Golf's miraculous.
That's easy.
Okay. So that's how you recover.
Amazing healing powers.
All right, what else?
The city of Cape Town has announced that their mayor, Patricia de Lille, is going to be... what's going to be happening this morning? 40 Rondebosch claimants are going to receive land that was dispossessed from them. It's understood that De Lille is set to host the claimants in a ceremonial handing over of the land that was dispossessed under apartheid law. The dwellers are said to have waited over a decade in order to get the land back, after having had lodged a complaint back in 2001. And so just before Human Rights Day, the city of Cape Town decided, yes, let's all benefit from this nice PR exercise.
That's exactly what it is.
So 40 claimants are now going to get some land back.
My ass is stuck.
And then straight after doing that, De Lille is then going to have to contend with her party, who, shame, still don't like her. The DA's disciplinary panel are going to decide today whether the public and the media will be allowed to access DeLille's hearing, which is set to start tomorrow. A DA federal executive meeting in January this year resolved that she should face charges for bringing the party into disrepute. Basically, they're saying that she acted in a manner that's impacted negatively on the party. And today they're all going to get together and decide whether you, as the public, we'll get to get front row seats to watch this hearing unfold.
We need an executioner. We need a scaffold. You know, we need all that stuff. We need some snacks.
Oh, snacks.
Some snacks.
Snacks are important in a show.
Snacks are important.
Yeah.
I sat in front of the TV last night. I watched that Alien Covenant movie.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that in ages. I sat there with a packet of chips, and I sat in front of the TV. I felt great. All right. Anything else?
That's it for now.
All righty. Let's get to Anthea and let's get to Ben. First things first, Ben, do you want to check in on crypto? Run is going crazy because he says, it's made a 20% comeback in the last couple of hours.
Yeah, Bitcoin is
still shit.
Ethereum is still kind of bobbing around with, you know, digestive tract.
So Bitcoin is currently trading at $8,202.82. Ethereum still languishing at $530.88. And the rest is not worth commenting on. So that's a little look at your cryptocurrencies in case you're looking at those this morning and in case you still own some of those. Let's get to Ben, see what's going on in the world of sport. Ben, over to you. Take it away.
This is the week. Thursday, SA vs Australia at Newlands, third test. Will Cocky Sarabada be playing? Well, some guy from New Zealand is basically going to Skype in for this independent hearing where Dali and Porfa will basically tear him a new one. But will it actually matter in ICC world?
Yes.
Well, see, not really. Not really. Because of this whole demerit system and the fact that KG's a repeat offender and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it's not really. I can see one or two things happening. The ban is upheld, doesn't play the rest of the series. The ICC gives some sort of stern lecture about the fact that, you know, rules and processes and whatever, and he just gets banned for the one game, meaning he comes back for the Wanderers. Those are the two options I reckon that will happen from here. Either way, we are going to see a backlash to all kinds of things. There's going to be racism is going to be brought into it because now Dali's involved. And secondly, well, Cricket South Africa will say absolutely nothing throughout this entire time. Ever since those guys were pictured with the Sonny Bill Williams masks, CSA have basically done whatever they can to say sorry to Australia at any given stage. And also, Cricket South Africa, even if they were to do everything completely right and all that kind of stuff, they are the small boys of the ICC. So when the ICC talk, they only can just sit and listen and hopefully get some scraps from the table. Because that's how cricket's structured, of course.
Okay.
Not the first time I told you this. So let's get into some actual sport that happened over the weekend. Well, it was a bloody good weekend of rugby. Now, I haven't watched rugby in quite some time, but this weekend I got really stuck into it. Starting with the Six Nations, every single one of the games, they were tight. It was so interesting. So Italy versus Scotland, you thought, okay, Scotland would just bulldoze Italy. No, Scotland won 29-27, and they got a penalty late in the match to seal that. Wales over France, well, Wales won 14-13. And the only game that actually wasn't tight was Ireland hammering England at Twickenham, 24-15. Huh. So Ireland, as we know, they were the Six Nations champions already. They then got the Grand Slam, which is the biggest thing possible. So good for them. Good for Ireland and CJ Stander, who was too small to be a Springbok. So they 5 out of 5. England finished 5th out of 6th. And it obviously helps the quite a competitive Six Nations this time around. But Eddie Jones, his bubble is so completely burst. So much so, English press, being the dicks that they are, they're now spreading rumours that maybe Steve Hansen will take over from Eddie Jones after the World Cup because Eddie's on his way out and he's just lost these 3 games in a row. Of course, Steve Hansen, who is not flustered by anything, says, not a chance, mate. I'm going to coach the All Blacks and then basically I'll never coach any other international team. Because sure, these guys are quite chill. They don't really need all the fame, the glory, and the sort of, women with few morals. They're into what they do and they go back to being normal people. That's what Kiwis are. Speaking of Kiwis and Super Rugby.
Ben, you have such sweeping statements about whole nations of people. It's fantastic.
Well, they are. I mean, that's just the thing. You know, it's the whole middle class that I am what I am kind of thing. Whereas in England, you get blinded by money, corruption, and girls and self-tan. In Super Rugby, big win for the Waratahs. They beat the Rebels 51-27 yesterday. If you're a big fan of Australian rugby, that must have been a humdinger for you. The Jaguares. Oh, when will these guys ever get it right? I mean, this basically is Argentina playing Super Rugby. And they got beaten by the Reds 18-7 at home. Jeez. The Lions, what the hell happened here? The Lions against the Sunwolves last season, 94-7 to the Lions. This time around, 40 points to 38. They squeaked it against the Sunwolves to the Lions. But I guess, you're going to win. Some of these games are mismatches and you take your eye off the ball, but the good on the Sunwolves to come back. Mm-hmm. That's just a monumental effort by them to lose by 2 points. The Storm was pretty good against the Blues. Despite flu ravaging the entire squad, they looked very good and they scored 4 tries, winning 37-20 against the Blues. The Brumbies versus the Sharks, well, I don't know what the hell's wrong with the Sharks. I've got to say, they look like they've got lead in their boots, polony in their lunchbox, whatever it is. They're not firing. They lost 24-17 to the Brumbies. Highlanders versus the Crusaders. Great game, this one. Highlanders winning 25-17. Crusaders are looking a little bit threadbare in the stocks of players there. They do have a lot of guys that are resting for the latter stage of the tournament, and they've got some current injuries. But the Highlanders are looking bloody strong. And then the Chiefs, they took on a very plucky Bulls side. The Bulls side went away to a great lead, but didn't score a single point in the second half. That's the thing about 18-minute rugby. You got to play for 80 minutes, as Nas will tell you. 41-28, the Chiefs winning that one.
That's an 80-minute game.
Yeah, 80-minute game, Gareth. Lots of golf over the weekend. Rory McIlroy, he won again. So yes, that Arnold Palmer Invitational on the leaderboard, which is brilliant. Tiger was making a charge. Bryson DeChambeau was looking good. Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, such a star-studded leaderboard. But eventually, McIlroy birdied 5 of the last 6. And with that, he won for the first time in, well, he couldn't even remember. It was like 2 years, I think. It's just a big deal for him. And then Darren Fickhout, he won the Tour Championship here in SA. But George Goodsey had already sewn up the Order of Merit. Then in football, there was a whole bunch of African qualifiers, whatever, whatever. Got a bit messy. I can't say I watched much of it. But there was FA Cup. And in FA Cup, well, that's what Arsenal usually puts the whole season onto, but they're not in it. So Leicester took on Chelsea. A very exciting game. Had to go to extra time. And then Pedro got the winner in extra time for Chelsea. 2-1, they go through. Wigan Athletic, they lost to Southampton 2-0. And then Man United, they beat Brighton and Brighton. And then Swansea, they lost to Spurs 0-3. So Spurs will take on Man United and Chelsea will take on Southampton. That is your semi-finals for the FA Cup. What else was there? That's pretty much all the big stuff. Oh, Ronaldo scored his, get this, how incredible is this guy? His 50th career hat-trick over the weekend.
Wow.
50 hat-tricks.
Wow.
Real Madrid absolutely slaughtered Girona. But 50, this guy, like on other levels, 50 hat-tricks.
It's very impressive.
Like, it's just so, so impressive. Oh, and Federer actually finally lost. Del Potro beat him in the Indian Wells final. Oh, and Kevin Peterson retired. But that literally is it. Because we've got to get to Anthea.
Kevin Peterson retired?
Yeah.
And how does Piers Morgan feel about that?
Well, I don't know, Gareth.
Devastated.
No one's really checked up on him, but I did offer thoughts and prayers earlier in the weekend for him.
That's nice of you.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what Anthea's up to this morning. Thank you, Ben. It's time for you to figure out what's happening with your money, if you have any, this morning. And to help us figure that out, Anthea.
Why Sibyl, it's Archuleta, Anthea, gotta touch a letter, Anthea. Why Sibyl, it's Archuleta, umu tware hante, Anthea. Why Sibyl, it's Archuleta.
All right, how are you, Anthea?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning.
Very good, good morning. Well?
Well, shall I just go straight into it?
No, how was your weekend?
Oh, such a first time here, Anthea. Let's chat. We're friends.
Oh, we chat.
Yeah, we're allowed to talk.
It was okay. What did I do?
And also, what's in the bag?
Ah, breakfast. Breakfast of champions. Oat, sugar-free, banana, cranberry, sunflower seed muffins.
Ooh, nice.
I also made chocolate cake, but I didn't have any powdered sugar, so I didn't... I couldn't make the frosting.
Were you?
And I'm not going to bring half.
Were you baking all weekend?
Just last night.
Oh wow!
Sure.
Oh.
Birthday weekend.
Jeez.
I mean, birthday week. Sorry.
Yes,
birthday
that's
weekend
right.
Coming up. That's why.
Has he been invited? Has he invited himself over? Because that's what he does.
Drinks at Anthea's place on Friday afternoon.
Anthea's going to be in Cape Town for her birthday at her 30th school reunion. Oh. How depressing is that?
Well, you said yes. That's what's the problem is. You actually want to go to your school reunion. I avoid those things like the plague.
Actually, the problem is that we're all still friends after 30 years. And so it's not like a big reunion. It's actually just an excuse to have a party.
Oh, there you go.
Are you going back there as the most successful one of all of them? Because
nope.
That's
yes.
Great.
No.
Tell
We've
us.
We've got Judith February was in my class. She's a political analyst.
Yeah, she's great.
Karen married Bruce Hrobola and is an anaesthetist. I mean, and lives in Canada now. No. Sure. I'm like a loser.
She's got some stories.
She's got stories.
that's a very impressive bunch of classmates you have.
Yeah, they're that bunch.
Okay, so let's get into the money. A lot of people want to know. The Viceroy Report.
Yeah.
These guys really have grabbed a lot of businesses by the balls. They were obviously on the money with the Steinhoff thing. But since then, not a lot of evidence that they have a huge amount more to offer. And I think they're trying to trade on the reputation they gained from the Steinhoff thing. They've got nothing else to offer now.
They're actually a little bit shocking. They seem to think they're in the media business. And they keep coming up with these like sensational headlines. This one, they said, AMD, the obituary. Like, what kind of research report is that? Like, what?
Yeah, no,
like,
that's
calling,
sensational.
You're calling the death of a company. You're calling a share to zero. That's shocking. You know, tell me what...
Even Steinhoff's not zero.
Exactly.
Somehow.
Somehow.
All right, so Aspen, right? We're talking about Aspen.
So a lot of people thought it was going to be about Aspen. And it's not the first time we thought that because... So Aspen is our pharma company. Steven Starr started it... He's very well known. You know, it's quite an acquisitive company. And unfortunately, even though it wasn't about Aspen, the share still came under pressure. And it's because analysts are now looking at the share a lot closer and realizing that the balance sheet is actually not as strong as we thought it was. And so his being a kind of historically an acquisitive growth company, so you go out and you buy companies that are earnings accretive, you kind of at some stage are going to run out of runway, or the earnings accretion or the additive profits is not going to be as good as the first couple of deals you do. You know what I'm trying to say? So, like, right. The first one is always like, oh, very exciting, and look at us, we found this cheap company and we bought it and it's great. But then it gets more difficult because they work in a very specific sector. I mean, it's kind of Ascendus Healthcare's problem as well. So it's not new to South Africa. The one person that probably got it right in South Africa is Brian Joffe with Bidvest. He managed just to keep constant, buy companies that were good, solid, consolidate, incorporate the other companies.
Because you become a victim of your own success.
Exactly. That's right.
People expect that you're always going to deliver miracles.
That's,
and as we've seen from the likes of Christo Visa, you can't keep working miracles. Maybe you have one lucky break in your life.
That's right. So the CEOs become kind of addicted to this adrenaline of buying companies. Yeah. EOH is another one of those.
And it's a lot of its ego.
Yeah. Because look at me, I'm so good at what I do. Yeah, I bought company. I found this cheap company.
I'm the magic guy. Mm. There's no
the
magic.
The deal maker, the rainmaker, they call themselves.
Right.
So yeah, just like overall, it was a pretty tough week in the market. Busy, wow, the volumes were huge. We did also have futures, so options and futures close out, derivatives close out on Thursday, where the volume was $4.2 billion.
Sure.
And March is generally not even the big close out. You know, we have 4 year every quarter, mm-hmm. March, June, September. Hang on, did I get that right?
So what does that indicate to you? What does that mean?
What does what mean? The volumes?
Yeah, the size of a big March closeout like this, which you say is not even the big one. I mean, because it's so big, is that a good news story in terms of money coming out of the exchange, or is it a bad story?
So it's a good news story because we like liquidity. We like to grow the market, and the more trade, the better the JSE share performs.
Right.
Don't forget that. It's also listed on its own exchange. Unfortunately, I think what happened with this futures closeout was that the derivatives traders were long delta or long the underlying shares. And so they have to rebalance their derivatives positions, the options and their futures, with the underlying shares. And because they were long shares, they had to sell them down. So the market came off quite a bit, actually. And then on Friday, we had index rebalancing. So that happens every quarter as well. And this time it coincided quite nicely with the derivatives closeout. And so what happens with that is higher market cap shares go into the index and the lower market cap shares fall out of the index. And again, you know, it just generates
people go
huge,
with a sure thing.
Yeah, exactly. And some people are benchmarked to the index. So they, if it goes into the index, they have to buy it. If it falls out, they have to sell it. So that generated a lot of volume as well. It wasn't great for a direction point of view, but from a volume point of view, is really good.
Can we talk about the rand for a little bit? Because we haven't really focused on it for any extended length of time, and obviously it really has done well since President Jacob Zuma left, and there was also good news when the charges were reinstated by Sean Abrahams, because that kicked the rand up a little bit.
Absolutely.
So what are we sitting at the moment?
11.97 last time I checked.
Do you think it could strengthen even more?
Well, it's going the other way suddenly now. So,
what do you
think
it is?
Since land expropriation talks,
right.
And also the Moody's report is coming up shortly. So I think you've got those two things weighing on the rand. Every single time there's an article that hits the news on land expropriation, this rand weakens. It's really not loving it. It's really not at all great. So yeah, it's still a below 12 to the US dollar, but not moving in the right direction. So, and then we also had business confidence, which would have impacted the rand. We had it on Wednesday. So business confidence jumped 11 points to 45. Now, this is an index, so that's an index level. 50 is your neutral. Above 50 is good, positive, and below 50 is negative. So that would have been positive for the rand. Even though it's below 50, it's moving in the right direction. You know, I'm not sure if this is a reactive or a kind of leading indicator, because actually business confidence, when they measure it, is measuring, you know, your confidence levels in the economy at a point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that mean that businesses are now going to invest, or are they reacting to the fact that Ramaphosa was made president? It's a kind of, it's halfway there, reactive or leading indicator. I listened to a really interesting conversation by my previous economics lecturer, who reminded me that during the Rubicon speech, this confidence index fell to 10. I mean, we're complaining because it's on 45 and it's been below 50 since December 2014. But 10 is like, that's an all-time low, right?
Well, again, this is where history helps. If you can even remember what the Rubicon speech was about, yeah, that was when F.W. de Klerk said that we were changing direction as a country. This was obviously prior to the fall of apartheid. It was at the beginning of that situation. It was also part of where he began to... Sorry, the Rubicon speech was P.W.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah, no,
see,
the
I'm
other way around.
Yeah. Piavia.
Yeah, when... remind me what he said. I can't remember what he said, but it was like everyone's just miserable and it was terrible and South Africa was in a very dark place, I think.
Yeah, no, sorry. The Rubicon, there was absolutely P.W. Botha.
Oh, sure. I thought I had it wrong.
And the idea of the Rubicon was where Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon and said, basically, we can't go back now. This is, we're marching on Rome. Mm-hmm. And so it was sort of a pivotal moment. And that was where South Africa really changed direction. Well, where the National Party, as the government of South Africa, changed direction.
But in Julius Caesar's case, the Rubicon, crossing the Rubicon was seen as the beginning of his end, right? Because he went back to Rome. That was how kind of so he faltered.
He was taking an army into Rome, which you weren't allowed to do. And he said, once we cross the Rubicon, because that was the rule, you don't take the armies over the Rubicon, otherwise you're threatening the civil society of Rome. And when he did that, he was basically showing his hand and telling everybody, I am going to set myself up now as dictator.
Shall we go back to the index business confidence?
Yeah, sure.
Sorry. I love history, but that's...
I agree with you. Keep moving.
Okay. And so I just wanted to point out that actually in 2007, I think it was, this index reached 85 when GDP growth was 5%. So we can get there, right?
Wow.
And yeah, so the point is, like, I think what we want now is companies in South Africa returning to profitability and seeing investment happening, and so that will change things. And so the good news, I think, overall, is that we're on the right trajectory.
All right. Tell me about Steinhoff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned, Christo, earlier. I know we mentioned companies that are acquisitive, but this is going the other way because Steinhoff, obviously, now you know, are having to sell some of the companies they own. One of them is Cup International, you know, the bedding, furniture.
Industrial.
What did I say?
Cup Industrial, not
sorry,
international.
Not international. Industrial, sorry, my bad. So Steinhoff last week sold their holding in Cup from 43% down to 26%.
Mm-hmm.
The market took it up at 8.15 rand a share, which is about a 4% discount. I thought it was going to trade or change hands at 7.85, 7.90. So people are wanting to buy, investors or traders are wanting to buy these Cup shares because they paid 8.15 for it, which now puts it on a 12 times forward 1 year price earnings, which is still cheap. I do, you know, I've always liked this share, so that's great. I don't like that this little volatility as Steinhoff sells down. Steinhoff said they were going to keep 26% because it is still a strategic holding. They did raise 3.7 billion rand selling that share or their holdings in it, so that was good.
Cool.
And then we had a couple of company results. We had Old Mutual, nice beat on earnings per share, up 35% year on year. Dividend up 17%. You know Old Mutual's breaking up, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, 35%, that's fantastic.
Nice, eh? Yeah. And it looks like this kind of managed separation, as they call it. Sounds very... What's the name that married that got divorced from the rock star? Managed separation.
It was Gwen Stefani, yeah. It wasn't Gwen Stefani.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin.
Unconscious uncoupling.
Unconscious uncoupling.
Unconscious coupling.
Unconscious coupling is Bill Cosby.
Ooh.
Bill Cosby's unconscious coupling. Conscious uncoupling is definitely Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin. Boy.
And Old Mutual. And then we also had EOH results. Trading update, results are only out on the 28th of March. Headline earnings down 20 to 30%. So they're saying headline earnings between 307 and 305 cents per share. I mean, even, or 350 cents per share, 350 cents per share. Mm-hmm. Even if you take the top end of it, and this is a funny company because they generally make their better earnings in the second half. So this is the first half. And you take that 3.50 and extrapolate it out for the year. The share looks so cheap. It's on a forward 7.5 times price-earnings ratio, but they've had problems again. Acquisitive, heavy debt, stories in the news. It's horrible, right? And a 4% dividend yield, you don't get that everywhere. And guess what they're doing? A conscious uncoupling.
Yeah.
They are now splitting their businesses. They're splitting their organic and their acquisitive business. So basically taking a 15 and a 10 times price-earnings ratio business and separating out them out. What has been interesting, which I've heard, and this is more anecdotal than kind of fundamental research, is that they were saying, or some of their executives, I should say, were saying that government just are not spending very much. And so their business that provides, and I think it's 41% of their business, that number just came to mind, it must be around there, is to government. And if government are not spending, well, that obviously will have a negative impact on their earnings and their profitability.
All right.
So share really under pressure. And then the last local company that I have to mention is ARC, which is Patrice Motsepe's African Rainbow Capital, because they only listed last year, end of last year. Net asset value. So because it's an investment company, we do some of the parts and net asset value analysis. Grew by 3.9%. Not great. Management have said they're looking for 16% per annum growth. The company is now valued at 9.08 billion rands, South African rands.
That's nice money.
That's not bad. Their investments include a fairly large stake in Alexander Forbes, Rain, which is a mobile network operator, which is they own 20% of. It's an 8.5 billion rand company. And then mortgage originator Uber, and this is spelled OOBA.
Yes.
I didn't know they were still around. I actually forgotten that they were a company. I kind of used them many, many moons ago. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it for the local news.
All right.
Have I got another minute?
You can have a minute. What the hell?
Sorry, Sia. I know ahead. It's your turn.
Nope, go ahead.
Sia's very calm about these.
You brought us breakfast. That's how easy I am.
Oh, wow. Is that how I bribe that's you guys? It. That was easy. All right. So, first of all, in the US, Toys R Us are closing. That's the end of 70-year-old Jeffrey the Giraffe. 30,000 jobs are going to be lost. And obviously, think about the manufacturers, the landlords, all the people that are earnings are going to come down because of big debt. So be careful of heavy debt. They have $5 billion of debt on their balance sheet. The Canadian and the Asian businesses will still operate. I mean, 740 stores in the US. And then this one was really interesting. Well, for me anyway. Spotify are listing, and they're listing on the 3rd of April. They're going to release results soon. But they really are taking a different approach to the stock market and listing, because normally when you go to the stock market, you're saying, I need some cash. I can't go to the bank and borrow. I will sell shares to you. I will take your money and expand my company. Spotify basically said, actually, you know what? We are not going to engage in silly self-congratulatory bell ringing, because when a company lists on the New York Stock Exchange, you get to open the exchange by ringing this bell.
Right.
And the only reason they're doing it is that people who have shares in the company can trade those shares. And how honest is that? Because that's the reality of the situation, right? If you're a company, you start up and you own shares in a business, how do you get your money out? Somebody has to come and buy those shares. And the best way to sell them is on the stock exchange to everyone in the world.
There we go.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a profit-making business yet. They do have $4 billion in sales last year, but losses were like $1.24 billion. So I don't know who's going to be buying those shares, basically.
Okay.
I'll stop now, shall I?
No. Sir, I think you're still going. I went for breakfast. I came back.
Jeez, and you brought me coffee.
I washed Gareth's car.
Yeah, there we go. All of that done.
Okay, I guess thanks, that's Anthea. My cue. Cheers, guys.
Cool. We'll see
you. Anthea,
we'll
have an amazing birthday. Thank you for breakfast.
Thanks for breakfast,
that's how
Anthea.
It works.
All right, see ya. Go on. Let's go.
Yo, here is a story. I heard about this man and I just thought that I absolutely had to share it this morning on Said by Seer. It's a Monday morning, and if you are feeling down about yourself and you're feeling like you want to complain and how tough your life is, well, let me just give you a byline about what this guy is all about.
Tell us.
He was enslaved twice as a child in Sudan.
Jesus.
And he now has made it to become a two-time Olympian, and on top of that is even joining the US Air Force. So how about that when you're complaining about how tough your life is? Yeah. Well, his name is Guo Maker, and he grew up in South Sudan in horrific, horrific circumstances. Back as a young child, he had to really endure some tough circumstances, as, you know, he lost 28 family members, including 8 of his 9 siblings, by the time he was 8 years old. He had to go through South Sudan looking for safety, and was enslaved twice in the process, having to work for rebels in the region, up until he finally made it through with his uncle to Egypt, where they applied for US citizenship and they were granted to move to the US finally. And he decided in 2001, when he moved into New Hampshire, that he was going to make sure that when one day he had children, they'd never have to experience what he had to go through. So that's when he taught himself English, made it through high school, and while in high school, he discovered that he had this passion for running. Hmm. And that's when he started breaking records, made it through university, and studied chemistry. Like, overachiever much?
Big
studied,
time.
Studied chemistry in university and broke records to the point where he qualified for the 2012 Olympics in London, and also in the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro in 2016, and now has his eyes set on the Olympics in 2020. But within all of that as well, he's been able to study further, has now joined the Air Force World Class Athlete Program, and you know what, it's just a proof that casually in the midst of all of this, he's even qualified as a dental assistant. So, I mean, like, this Guo Maker guy, if you want to read up more on his story, he's G-U-O-R and his surname is Maker. I just thought he is an extraordinary tale of the human spirit and resilience, and never taking your current circumstance as the ideal and the result for your life. So before you have a pity party for yourself on this Monday morning, think about guys like this and what they've had to endure, and how throughout all of this, not only have they made it through, but they're still keeping on going.
Yeah,
so
that's
take
impressive.
A spoonful of that this morning for Said by Seer.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, very, very nice. I was gonna save this for when Rich comes in. I've got the Scottish song that I want to play.
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, there's a Scottish song that someone's put out. Anyway, lots of stuff to get stuck into, and I hope you're ready for a pretty damn good Monday. I'll tell you why, because tomorrow is basically a mini Friday.
Yes!
Look at that.
What?
That's right. That's my belly's happy sound. Don't you know, Sia? Don't you know anything?
Okay.
This is CliffCentral.com.